This is The Difference, a podcast for nonprofit fundraising in a for-profit world, presented by Convergent Nonprofit Solutions, a leader in nonprofit fundraising. Convergent's professionals can help your nonprofit secure sustainable funding now and for the future.
Welcome to The Difference, where you find out about how to improve your fundraising skills as an organization. I'm Jay Wirth with Convergent Nonprofit Solutions, and I'm very pleased to have as my guest Len Romano, a senior project director and executive coach. Len does his project work with Convergent Nonprofit Solutions, and we are in the second of a three-part series on asking rights. Our first session, you heard from Tom Ralzer. He's the gentleman that coined the concept of asking rights, has written three books around that concept. And we're going to explore the second in Tom's idea that to raise money effectively, your organization has to have credibility, it has to possess fundraising skills, and it has to demonstrate outcomes.
You know, Tom is the ultimate expert in asking rights, but I have used it in our projects recently. And it really is both a mixture of, I would say, science, mostly science, and some art. And I think it's important to recognize that when we talk about asking rights, you don't always have the right to ask a top-level investor to contribute to your organization. What asking rights does is it positions an organization to do that. And I want to make something clear up front on the science part. There's a difference from convergence standpoint between a donor slash contributor and an investor. Donor slash contributor will contribute something to your organization, maybe because they like you, maybe because they have a fond heart for the organization, but they're not giving at what we would consider to be an investment level. So we really feel strongly that in order to attract investors, and some of these people don't know you yet, you have to have asking rights because you don't have a monopoly on charitable support. You know, there's competition for every organization. What we look at when we talk about asking rights is we want to separate a nonprofit from commodity because you're out there with a lot of others to a premier organization that makes a tangible but evidence-based difference in society. It is about your outcomes versus outputs. You still need to have scale. You still need to have outputs, but you have to have outcomes that are critical both in society, but also from the investor standpoint. And we'll talk a little bit more about that. And it really is a simple formula. It involves, if you can picture a triangle in your mind, connection, cause, and capacity. And it takes time to develop. More on this later on, you know, what the CEO or executive director's role is, what the board's role might be, and how Convergent could help.
You use the term outcome versus outputs. Just give us a brief overview of the difference.
So essentially, an output is the number of service units or the number of people you serve. So you could have a kindergarten readiness program. You might have, 100 kids in your kindergarten readiness program. Well, that's great. That means you're probably popular. Maybe you're priced right. Are they ready for kindergarten? So have you captured pre and post the essential skills that would make them ready? In other words, word recognition, colors and shape recognition, reading ability, writing ability, and have you scientifically captured those numbers so that now you can say that because your child will be ready for kindergarten based on these outcomes down the road, when they're adults, their earning capacity is going to be about $20,000 more than people that did not go through a kindergarten readiness program. So there's all kinds of other outcomes down the road that can be developed from your outcomes that you create.
Len, you spent many years as an executive in a nonprofit organization or organizations, and you've become a consultant to nonprofit organizations. What's the state of fundraising skills in nonprofit organizations today in your mind?
It varies. There are large nonprofit organizations that have, full-scale development departments. Then there are ones that have no development department, and there's flavors in between. The one thing that I think we're finding in the nonprofit sector is that boards tend to shy away from being involved in resource and admission, which is fundraising, because when they are prospected and recruited, it's not made clear to them that key jobs is to not only give at a leadership level, but get others to give at a leadership level and to nurture potential investors and to bring the executive around to meet these potential investors. So I think it's becoming harder and harder to raise dollars, especially in annual campaigns. Capital campaigns are a whole different animal because, you know, it's a highly defined project with a start and an end date. But annual campaigns happen every year. You raise the same dollar every year over and over again. And the challenge is not to just raise the same dollar, but to raise more dollars, which includes two things. One, more potential investors, and upgrading your existing investors, or what you would call what most of the world would call donors, to the next level of giving. It's all over the board, but we're finding that it's more cause driven for sure, which is why outcomes are important. But it's also why your role in producing those outcomes and how you communicate that to the external environment is critical.
But it sounds like nonprofit organizations in general aren't doing a very good job of preparing their board members in their role. Did I hear that basically between the words as you were saying that?
Yeah, you know, it's because what normally happens in the board development process, and I'm not saying this is the same with every nonprofit organization, but sometimes there's no kind of, again, I go back to science behind why you are going after certain board prospects. You know, what do you want them to do? What do they bring to the table? And communicating the tough discussion that if you're going to be a board member, you have to be participate at a leadership level giving. So what does that mean? That means you take your top level board member investors, and that's the bar. Now, if your bar is too low, obviously there's a few reasons for that. One, they haven't been nurtured enough, just like any other potential investor. Or two, they just don't have the capability or capacity, which points back to your board development process. But what I would always do is in the board job description, I would actually have what the average board member pledge is of the board. What's the yearly fundraising goal? So if our yearly fundraising goal was $2 million. They saw a big number. You know, what is leadership level giving? What does that mean? What's the cause and the associated outcomes attached to the campaign? You show that to a board member, and if they are not able to do the average, at least the average level of giving, and that's average, they shouldn't be a prospect, and that's okay. It's a very, you know, there's more to this. I've got a 8-step process to board development that we do. You know, part of it is being upfront with the board member that this is a major commitment. And it's one that they should, if they have a significant other or spouse, before they make a decision to join the board, they should talk to their significant other or spouse.
Well, without going through all the 8 steps, I would guess that it would be important for a prospective board member, in addition to that financial commitment, to understand, based on the person's talent, how they could best help the organization in its fundraising, right? Because not everyone likes to ask for money.
Not everyone likes to ask for money, and that's a flaw. Fundraising is storytelling, and it involves laying out a story, and we go back to those outcomes, but also then connecting those outcomes to a personal story, and then you go back to the outcomes again. It's always about, you know, when you're looking for board development, you know, what committee are you wanting the person to be on? What talent are you after that they have? What gap do they represent? Is it a geographic gap? Is it a technical gap? diversity gap? What are you trying to fill? And what's their network that they can be helpful with? And there's some other pieces to that. But generally speaking, it's kind of like if you think about the NFL draft, they don't just pick any player off the draft board. They have a reason for that. And the same thing with board development.
Well, let's talk a little bit more now about annual appeals versus campaigns. And for those of you who are listening, who I would imagine you're familiar that Convergent's primary role is managing fundraising campaigns for nonprofits. Talk to us more about that distinction between the annual appeal and a campaign.
They're both campaigns, but the purpose are very different. So a capital campaign is to build something, renovate something, or do something very specific in terms of an initiative, something that maybe you aren't already doing in terms of initiative or something you want to expand. An annual campaign, some people call them annual appeals or annual fund, is really used to fund the ongoing mission of the organization. You know, as you know, nonprofit organizations have all kinds of, you know, support staff and support activities and programs and have very little earned revenue. In other words, people don't pay nonprofits to buy things. There are exceptions, like with the YMCA is one exception, and there are others. An annual campaign or annual fund, annual appeal is what fuels the mission to continue every year. So it's an ongoing, it never stops. Whereas when you do a capital campaign, you raise the dollars, it's typically a 5-year payment period. And then when that's done, you're ready to go on to the next capital campaign. When you run a successful capital campaign, it does set you up after that 5-year period is over to increase your annual campaign if you already have one in place. So that's a real, real huge benefit of doing capital. For annual campaigns, you know, they build the organization capacity really to raise capital dollars down the road, but it's also something else. It's almost like a program to educate your internal audience, your staff and board, your what I would call your family and friends, which are your existing investors, and then the external community, those you're trying to nurture, about the difference you're making in real terms. But it happens every year to fund your mission and hopefully more outcomes. And maybe more outputs for those outcomes, because, you know, it costs money to serve more people. Again, it's a year-round process, typically lower-level donors over time who should be moved to higher-level giving. It requires recruiting campaign volunteers in addition to every board member as a campaigner. So it is a math equation if you think about it. There's a way to really figure out how many campaigners you need to raise X number of dollars. Here's the thing that's very different about annual appeals. With a capital campaign, you have, you know, if we do a campaign for you, in the budget for that campaign, there's a support person, and it's during that time period for the campaign. Annual, you need someone to manage the details all the time. And basically, it's spending money to make money proposition. That's something we can teach you to do in the Asking Rights division. We can help you figure out how to have an annual campaign, how to manage it, how to put it together. It requires that spending money to make money, because once the annual is over, the campaign's not over. It starts again in terms of the nurturing and all the things, the thank yous and this investor events and all of that that continues every year to do every month to keep nurturing, keep that connection alive.
When we think again about campaigns, what is the role and most value, highest and best use of the Convergent project director who's on site managing the campaign for our clients?
I've sat in both seats as a CEO and then as a senior project director for Convergent. It's essential. I remember when I was a CEO having to run campaigns myself, because we didn't have enough wisdom to hire Convergent. We should have. But the point is, you know, you have to run an organization. You are in charge of the vision and strategy of the organization, the day-to-day management of it, especially if you don't have a lot of support staff. The beauty of this Convergent process is that we handle everything, you know, all the details. We even do the asks, because it's easier for us to ask an investor to to give at a high level, even if you know the person. And it's easier for them to say no because they know you than to say no to somebody who they don't know. And it's not a, you know, it's not a trick game. It's really getting the value out of that investor and making sure they understand why this is so important and why they need to be part of this. And that's what we're good at. We'll bring a board member with us. We'll bring the executive with us. The last campaign I did, the executive came with me to all the asks. There's another piece of that, whether it's annual or capital, and that's a feasibility study. That's where the connections start. In the feasibility study, we're meeting with people that are first timers with the organization. We start that connection at that point. So they get to hear about the mission of the organization and the outcomes and why it's so important. And we get to know the potential investor. So I think the feasibility study, Jay, is also an important piece of this. Even if you don't think you're ready for a campaign, it's always good to find out what the key leaders in your community, the top investors, think about you personally, your board, and your organization.
Focusing on fundraising skills with our guest, Len Romano, today. Convergence website has, under its resources tab, a reality check that a nonprofit organization can perform. It's quick, it's easy. But what are those questions that we ask for this reality check? There's three or four basic questions, Len. Why don't you briefly elucidate on those?
One of them would be, have you raised $50,000? Dollars from one source at one time? Do you regularly make in-person asks of more than $5,000? You know, is your board engaged and financially supportive? And by that, you know, you have the data to prove that. But I would add a few more to that. You know, what are your top 10 investments and what do you want your top 10 investments to look like? Which are two different things. What outcomes are important to your wealthy or high-level donors or investors? Is the executive director and board recognized as top leaders in the community? Is your process in person, which we talked about, and then do you or your board know the top investors in the community? If you think about those nonprofits in your community that have the wealthy boards, in quote, how do you compare in terms of what they raise and what you raise, and what's your next step to get to the next level?
This has been an excellent conversation, Len. You've given us some real keen insights on fundraising skills, the importance for the organizations, how to obtain them using your board of directors, and a lot more detail. Articles, podcasts, and so forth are available on the Convergence website, convergentnonprofit.com. Our guest today, Len Romano, Senior Project Director, also does executive coaching for nonprofit executives. Thanks, Len.
Thank you.